This is SB Nation Radio. Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we focus on the greatest professional fishermen in the world, the men who make up the Bassmaster Elite Series, and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the Bass Pro Shops Open Series, and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/bassradio or on Twitter at @bass_nation and use the hashtag bassradio. You can also listen to all the shows at bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the home button at bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Well, we've just wrapped up a historic Bassmaster Classic with 25-year-old Jordan Lee coming back from 15th place with a Sunday catch of 27 pounds, 4 ounces, and a three-day total of 56.10, a pound and a half better than charging Steve Kennedy. Brett Ayler, who led after days 1 and 2, struggled on Championship Sunday, falling to third with an 11-pound, 10-ounce catch. Who better to kick off the Classic Rewind than with the man himself, Jordan Lee. Jordan, welcome to Bassmaster Radio. I would say how you doing, but I suppose you're still on cloud nine.
You know, I really am. It's just been a dream week, and I'm, you know, I've had to pitch myself several times to make sure I'm not dreaming.
You know, there's a lot of things that are historic about this. We'll get to the 27 pounds on the final day and the comeback from 15th place and so on. That's crazy. But, you know, coming out of the Carhartt College series as well, the first guy really to do that, and you were a champion there for Auburn University with your brother, Matt. And yeah, it's got to mean a lot, I would think, you know, to be able to have that title and have those guys that are fishing the college circuit, you know, look at you and say, you know what, this is we can do this.
You know, it really is. I mean, you know, coming up through the college ranks and being in Auburn and just, you know, doing it for all my friends and, you know, everybody that, you know, I went to school with and just the up and coming guys too, you know, they're in high school and, you know, they're going to look to go to a college team. I mean, I feel like it just shows a lot of those younger guys that, you know, anything's possible. And, you know, I think it's just good for the younger crowd, you know, in general.
Now, I've got to ask you, of course, you went to Auburn. You're an Auburn guy. You used to run that beautiful Auburn boat and now got great sponsorship with Carhartt. But as a kid growing up, were you always an Auburn guy or did you roll with the tide or you always been War Eagle?
You know, I've always been War Eagle. My dad, you know, he went to Auburn. And, you know, I've always just loved the school. And, you know, I used to make trips down there to football games and stuff like that, and you know, it was no-brainer when I got out of high school, and I saw that the Auburn had a fishing team. It was just it was a no-brainer on where to go, and you know, it just turned out awesome.
Might be kind of cool to get a hold of the Auburn folks. They all know that you've won this title, the biggest title in professional fishing, the Bassmaster Classic champ. I'd love to see them, you in your boat, be pulled out to midfield, deliver the game ball in your boat, being pulled out. How would that be? Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You know, it would be cool. You know, I usually try to go to at least one football game a year, so that'd be cool, you know, to have the trophy and bring it back to Auburn just for everybody to check it out. And, you know, Auburn's, you know, a area too where, you know, there's a lot of lakes around there. So there's a lot of guys that go there. I'm sure girls that, you know, there are on the fishing team that like to fish. So, you know, it would definitely be cool for everybody to see.
And, of course, the guy that you had to beat was the hard-charging Steve Kennedy. And there may not be a bigger Auburn fan than Steve Kennedy. I mean, I know you guys went there, but, you know, I mean, Steve Kennedy, for him to be up there, I was just trying, as I was watching it unfold at the weigh-in, I was feeling for Tripp Welden, to be honest with you, because Tripp's a huge Alabama fan. And I felt like he might have, you know, he might have threw up a little bit in his mouth, you know, having Steve Kennedy and Jordan Lee, you know, you two guys finishing 1-2.
You know, I know Tripp was excited. I know he's excited for me, and I know he's excited for whoever wins. But you're right. There's no bigger Alabama fan than Tripp Welden. And, you know, when Alabama lost last year, I think I saw him shed a couple tears. So, but Steve Kennedy, I mean, he's a huge Auburn fan. And, you know, when I was at Auburn, he would come to the meetings and speak. And, you know, I've always been a fan of Steve. And, you know, it's one of those deals that, you know, I hate. I really do hate it for the guy who's came in second, third, and because I've been there, and I was there last year, and not in the Classic, but in the elite tournaments, and I know how hard it is to get there. But you know, those guys are friends of mine, and you know, I mean, it's just awesome for Auburn, I think.
Yeah, Classic champ Jordan Lee, our guest, and let's take it back through the tournament now. Day one, you come in three. Yeah, not good ones. Nice ones, I guess. Three fish, 8 pounds, 6 ounces. It's noon on day two. You haven't caught a fish yet. I would think at that point in time, you're thinking about what booth you might be working or what sponsor you might be working for Sunday at the expo, right? I mean, you're probably figuring, I don't know how I make the cut when you're sitting with no fish in a boat at noon.
Exactly. I mean, I found this one place in practice, and I just didn't know, you know, I didn't know what it could produce. And, you know, the first day, the winds were bad, and it was real cloudy. I just really couldn't fish it. You know, I tried several times, three times, and I just never caught anything. And, you know, the second day I started there, and it was still, you know, I just wasn't getting any good vibes from it. And it just didn't get any bites. I think I caught a stripe there that morning. You know, I was just thinking, well, not going to pan out here, you know. I mean, and at noon I decided to go back there. You know, I was running out of options. I'd lost several fish that morning, you know, just fishing, and it wasn't going good. And, you know, if I've learned anything in fishing, it's you can't give up. You can't ever, you know, you always have those voices in your head, man, it's not going to happen. But you keep going, you keep trying different things, you know. I picked up the troll motor 20 times that morning. I'm running around, you know, I'm fishing slow, but I'm trying different areas and trying different things, and just wasn't happening. And I went back to that place, and it was just like a light switch went off. And first one I caught there was 7.5 pounds. And, you know, there was several big fish swimming with it. And I knew then that, you know, if I was going to make a comeback, it was going to be right there. And, you know, I stuck it out. I caught three more fish there, and I caught one keeper running back in, and, you know, had four fish for, you know, 21 pounds. And it was just a good feeling to make the cut. And, you know, I still thought I was way out of it.
Yeah. And, you know, at 15th place, to be honest with you, you are kind of way out of it, but you know, now that you can have a good showing, talk about what you were catching them on at that point in time on Saturday. Were you catching those fish as well? I know you were throwing a football jig with a Rage Craw, and talk a little bit about the technique.
Yeah. So that second day, you know, I pulled up, and, you know, I'd found the fish in practice cranking a 5XD, and, you know, I pulled up that day, and that's what I caught the biggest one on of my tournament. And, you know, I slowed down with a big worm, a bull worm, and I caught, ended up catching two more, you know, fish off that spot. And, you know, when I saw those fish coming in the boat the second day, you know, I really didn't want to pull up and crank the next day, because I knew if they were schooled up, I was probably going to pull those fish. And that typically happens with a crankbait. And, you know, that second day, that's what I did. I slowed down with the worm, and it was, you know, I learned a little bit, though. I learned, you know, I had to probably mix some slower baits in. And so that final day I went out, and, you know, I rigged up all my ledge fishing stuff that I would do, you know, have on it, like gunners for anything like that. And, you know, I tied on a football jig, you know, with a Rage Space Monkey, and I had a different one with a Rage Craw. And, you know, the first big one I caught of the last day was on that football jig. And the second one was, and, you know, I'm throwing all different baits. And every time I pick up that jig, you know, I could get a big bite. And it wasn't fast and furious that last day. You know, I had to really fish slow. And, you know, I don't think I would have if I would have been way up there and have a chance, you know, in my mind to win the tournament. Just because how slow the bite was, I really just had to let that bait soak. And, you know, it was just one of those deals that just, you know, it all came together.
We'll take a short break. Come back with more with Bassmaster Classic champion Jordan Lee. This is Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio on ESPN Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham. Jordan Lee is our guest, and we're talking about his championship in the Bassmaster Classic on Lake Conroe this past weekend. And, Jordan, now let's talk championship Sunday, because you get out on the lake and... you have engine trouble. You're on a point that you're fishing, and you're going to have some engine trouble out there. First of all, did any sense of panic come up? You're 25 years old. Have you had this kind of a situation before where you got engine trouble and you're wondering, you know, what am I going to do here the rest of the way?
You know, when I was running to my spot that morning, I really didn't know. My motor was, it was just getting slower and slower and slower, and you know, I still had a ways to go, and, you know, I got to a bridge on the lake. When I got to the bridge, my motor, it just, you know, it shut down, and I knew when I got to that bridge, I could see my place. You know, I knew I was going to have to idle there, and I couldn't get back on pad, and I was just thinking in my mind when I was running down the lake, just get me there, you know, just get me to the... Get me to the spot. And when I got to the spot, you know, I knew I wasn't gonna move all day, and I didn't. And you know, I was just happy that I could get there. That was just a big relief for me, because you know, I just had this one spot, and you know, if I would have shut down a couple miles from it, it would have been a different story. But you know, I got there, and when I got there, it was just a huge relief. Really, because I knew if I was going to make a comeback, it was going to be right there.
Yes, Jordan Lee with us, Bassmaster Classic champion. If the engine doesn't break down, do you sit on that spot the whole time? Do you think that, you know, in any way that kind of played into your decision to sit there and just cover every inch of that point because you really didn't have a choice? Do you think in a way it ends up being a blessing?
Yeah, you know, it really did. I told my camera guy when he got in the boat that day that, you know, it was probably a blessing in disguise. And, you know, there was a time when I went an hour and a half without a bite. And, you know, when that happens, you know, you have voices in your head, you know, did I leave? And, you know, I told my guy, you know, I can't go anywhere. So it was just, it was one of those deals that I really didn't think I would have left anyway, but with the motor trouble, I knew that, you know, I couldn't leave.
You talk about fishing with the Rage Craw and the Space Monkey and switching back and forth between the two, and that was what you did all the damage with that 27 pounds all coming on the football jig. Strike King products, you're a Strike King pro. Talk about the difference, though. Why do you think switching back and forth, why at one point in time it's the Rage Craw and then it's the Space Monkey, a little bit different looking trailer?
You know, I think when you're fishing one spot, it's good to mix baits up and, you know, give the fish a little bit different look. And, you know, I don't know if those fish were sitting there the whole time or if more were moving up throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And I really thought more fish were just pulling up later in the day because I was getting a lot more bites towards the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like that Space Monkey. It's just a little bit bigger profile bait. you know, I've had, it's just a confidence bait. You know, anybody knows that this is a lot. It's usually about confidence. What do you have confidence in? And that was just the confidence setup for me. You know, I've caught big fish in the past on it, doing the same, you know, fishing the same way. But, you know, mixing up trailers like that, you know, I feel like if anybody's listening and has fished offshore before, it's always good to give the fish a different look, and that's just what I was doing.
Was the jig the same? And also tell us about your setup in terms of the line that you were using.
Yeah, you know, the jig was, it was the same jig. It was just a round rubber brown football jig.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same. I mixed up the trailers. As far as the setup goes, you know, I was throwing Seaguar 17 pound Abrazex line. And when I've fished like that before, you know, fishing offshore, I like 17 pound. It's good for making long casts, and you know, I don't have to worry about breaking fish off. And I was throwing a 7.4 heavy Quantum tour PT rod with a Smoke HD reel. And, you know, it's just a confident setup for me. You know, it's a heavy action rod. So those fish were, a lot of them were biting on the long cast at the end of my cast. So, you know, when I set the hook, you know, I was getting a good hook in them. And, you know, I didn't lose any fish. And that's always key, especially when you're getting those big bites. You just don't want to lose. You know, you want to do everything you can not to lose those fish. And that setup for me, you know, I didn't lose any fish, and that was, you know, that was definitely a game changer.
Jordan Lee with us, Bassmaster Classic champion here on Bassmaster Radio. Okay, finally, tell us about the ride back. Did you know you were going to have a ride? Did you get towed in, or did you make the transfer? Just give us a little detail on how you ended up getting back to Minute Maid Park.
You know, that was the most nervous part of the day. I told guys, this is going to be the hardest part of my day right here. And, you know, I talked to Tripp throughout the day, and you know, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't breaking any rules, and I didn't want any questions about anything that happened. And I talked to Tripp, you know, I could ride in with the spectator. Luckily, there was a spectator there, Fran, that marshaled the event where I grew up. So when I talked to Tripp, you know, I could get a ride back in with him, but once I got his boat, I couldn't fish anymore. So I made the choice that it, you know, an hour before check-in, that I was, you know, going to bag my fish up and jump in his boat, and Boat US was going to tow my boat and you know, get it back to the ramp. And so anyways, you know, I jumped in his boat with 27 pounds in a bag. And you know, I didn't put them in a live well because I wanted to make sure once I got back in that, you know, they checked the live wells before I put the fish in there, just so there was no questions at all. And, you know, I bagged the fish up. We rode back to the ramp, got checked in, got my boat back, and, you know, got to put my fish in my live well, got them all checked. Everything was good. And that was the most nervous hour. You know, and I still didn't have a clue that I was going to win the event. You know, I just knew that I was probably going to make a big move. And, you know, that was just, but I was nervous as all get out in that hour. That was probably more nervous than being on stage and leading the event, was just making sure that I could get my fish back to the ramp.
Right, right. Well, it's a new technique on the tour this year. Jacob Wheeler, break down, win the tournament. Jordan Lee, breakdown, win the tournament. So I guess that's the way to go. One of the newest techniques. We'll read about it in Bassmaster Magazine, I guess. Jordan, I appreciate you. Again, congratulations. Thanks for coming on and doing this. And good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Jordan Lee joining us there, talking about his win in the Bassmaster Classic. We'll come back with more right after this. You're listening to Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, and now what a special time this is, a chance to talk to Mike McInnes. He's the executive producer of Bassmaster Television. He's the one that is calling the shots as best as possible for live, and there's been a lot of questions about it and the coverage and so on of not only live but the highlight shows that are put together. So Mike McInnes joins us now for a few minutes to help us wade through some of this. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you?
Glad to be here. I don't know how special it is that I'm on, but I'm certainly happy to be here.
Well, you know, we've had Bassmaster Radio going for, I think, 6 weeks now. We've had Jerry on twice and you on once. So the McInnes clan is bad about 50% so far on the show. So that's a good thing.
I'm sure the fans want to hear him more than they want to hear about me, but... Yeah. I'm glad to be here. This is fun.
I feel like I know you. Dad sent me the book, and I'm just about finished with it, and it means a lot to me, especially because my son is the executive producer of Bassmaster Radio and is in the business as well as a general manager of radio stations in Tennessee and so on. So I get that pleasure as well, working in the family business. It has its challenges, but it sure is neat to be close to a family member like that.
It does. You know, I've been working with Dad for 27 years now, and man, it's been he's my best friend, and it's been a great ride. We've been through lots of stuff together.
Yeah, cool stuff. All right, let's talk a little bit about the coverage. I find that we as viewers of live, and this has been exploding. I mean, the technology has been unbelievable. The viewers and the streams have been climbing like crazy. But I find we as viewers get a little bit spoiled. We first wanted to see, is there any way to cover a fisherman actually fishing live? Now we're a couple of years into it, and we want to know why it doesn't look like a golf tournament, why everybody isn't covered constantly and so on. So just talk about some of the challenges between the differences in live and in the recorded program that you put together a couple of weeks later on ESPN2.
Well, first of all, if we had our way, we'd have 52 live cameras out there, and we'd see and hear and feel everything that happens. We're just not there yet. The technology is there, but that takes a whole lot more people and more back end to pull that off. You know, right now we're getting 5 and 6 live cameras back to us, and that's about as fast as we're able to pedal at the moment. But it's growing fast. I will say that we'll continue to get bigger and more coverage. But it is where it is right now. And so we have, take the Bassmaster Classic, for instance, and even the Elites, we have 5 live cameras that we're putting out on the water. So on day one, we're picking the stars of the sport, mm-hmm. or the hometown favorites, or the ones that we think are going to do well on this lake, and we put live cameras on them. And then on day two and day three, the final day, we're going with the top 5 guys. So we're not batting 100, but 99.9% of the time, we're getting the leader and the winner on live coverage with that. Mm-hmm. So. Those live cameras that we're sending out, they're also recording, taping for the television show that airs next week. The Classic airs next week on ESPN2. So the live cameras are dual purpose. They're sending us live feeds back, and they're also recording for the tape show. And then we send out 3 additional cameras that are not live, that are taping 6th, 7th, and 8th place. And, we're getting more cameras out there for the television show, getting more anglers covered, mm-hmm. Really hedging our bet to make sure we get the winner. And as most people know, we had a curveball thrown at us this weekend with Jordan Lee past weekend, and we had to scramble a little bit. Lee was in 15th place coming in the day. We didn't have a clue to put a camera on him. We did know that it was possible for the top 20, anyone in the top 20 to win it by catching 30 plus pounds. But again, we're taking our best shot. And when Lee made his move, Sunday morning, he caught a 5.5 pounder and a 3.5 pounder pretty early. And we moved our reporter, which is our 9th camera on the water, Robbie Floyd. He moved over there. He actually, sort of just on a whim, took it over to Jordan Lee as he was bouncing around covering guys. He knew that Jordan Lee had caught four fish the day before, but they were 20 pounds and he was on bigger fish. So he took it upon himself to go over there and see how Jordan was doing. We were seeing him make a good move on Bass Track, and we happened to get there after two fish, and that reporter cam got in with him and covered him for the rest of the day.
So we'll see.
Unfortunately, that camera was not a live camera, so we couldn't see it live. We did get four of his five keepers on camera. I'm looking at them already this morning. That'll be on the television show.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Mike McInnes with us, executive producer of Bassmaster Live and Bassmaster TV. All right, so the concept of getting word that somebody is hot and stripping a boat of a live setup and delivering it to some other angler. Just to explain how difficult that would be, because there's marshals involved, because if a boat has a cameraman, he doesn't have a marshal. There's logistics involved. So just explain that, because people are thinking that these cameras are like little GoPro cameras or something, and you could just drive across the lake and jump in that guy's boat.
Yeah. Well, you're exactly right. These are bigger cameras, you know, big shoulder cameras. In order to move somebody, you first have to get the angler to agree to stop fishing for a second. So he's got to pick the right time, and then you got to get the microphone off him. You got to pack up all your gear. You got to get the camera boat over to that boat and swap gear. You have to put the marshal back in the boat with the angler you're leaving. Then you have to go find that angler that you're mm-hmm. going to, which sometimes is easy, sometimes is a challenge. Conroe's not a huge lake. It's not too difficult. It's very rough when there's wind blowing, so it's not easy to just bounce around real quick. Then when you find that angler you're going to, you have to find the right time that he wants to allow you to come up, get next to him, get the marshal out of his boat, get in his boat, mic him up. You know, you're talking about an hour at best mm-hmm. to make that transition. And when you and you just pulled a camera off a guy who's, sure, he's in sixth or seventh place, but he's only 5 pounds back. He's not out of it. So you're gambling to go to a guy who's already caught the fish and leave a guy who, if he catches a few, he's going to be right back above the guy you're moving to.
Right.
We have always found it the right thing to do to stay with who we are and be patient. And only one time have we missed the winner, and only a couple times have we not got any coverage of the winner.
Right. We got just about a minute and a half left or so, but the other comment that has come up, you know, some folks are cynical, and they think that sponsorship has something to do with the guys that get coverage, and it's crazy. But I mean, once you guys start the show, you know, what kind of a patch or logo is on somebody's jersey? That has nothing to do with who you're covering or where you're going, correct?
Absolutely not. I mean, I've challenge anybody that's saying that to watch the shows and watch live. We are covering, sure, on day one, we're picking the stars of the sport, and we're picking hometown favorites, and we're picking guys that we think are going to do well on that lake.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've never noticed somebody's logo on their jersey and made a decision by that. Once you get into day two and day three and day four, we're going with the leaders. We're going with the guys who've earned having a camera on them. So those live cameras are on the top five guys.
Yeah.
Every tournament. Never different.
Well, clearly this isn't a baseball stadium or even a football stadium or even a golf course. This is, you know, usually a 30, 40, 50,000 acre playing field, and it is a huge undertaking. You guys make it look a lot easier than I know it is, and we're looking forward to the continued advancements, because it's 100 times better than it was just 2 years ago. We know that it'll continue getting better and better.
Well, we're excited about it. You know, the viewers that we had it live at the Classic was eclipsed last year's Classic by almost 60% when you include ESPN3 and Bassmaster.com. And I've seen, I said earlier that I've been in the sport for over 20 years, and I've seen jumps in growth, but this live thing is doing something that we've never seen before with new viewers and people being able to see it happen live.
Mike, I appreciate you taking a few minutes with us, and good luck the rest of the season. We'll be watching Toledo Bend up next.
Glad to be here. I sure appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Coming up in our final segment, how did your fantasy team do? Scott Morris and I will talk about how ours did, and we'll give you some tips on Toledo Bend. That's a small lake to cover. That's only about 120,000 square acres. That ought to be a big experience for the live folks as well. Back with that right after this. You're listening to Bassmaster Radio on ESPN Nation Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Bassmaster Radio, and the 2017 Bassmaster Classic is in the books. And from a fantasy fishing standpoint, congratulations to B. Blaze, who put together the winning team. 1,440 points he had. Kevin Van Dam out of Bucket A, Mike Iaconelli in Bucket B, the winner Jordan Lee in Bucket C, Brent Ayler, who led for a couple of days in Bucket D, and Wesley Strader in Bucket E. So he gets the win. Now, the perfect team would have been Kevin Van Dam, James Elam, Jordan Lee, Brent Ayler, and Timothy Klinger. The perfect score would have been 1475, and B. Blaze had 1440, so that's a great job done by him. Now, in my competition with my partner, Scott Morris, I didn't do so well. My team did not do well. Scott joins us now. Scott, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm ready for that steak dinner.
Yeah, well, I owe you a steak dinner, and we'll have to get that done this weekend. I ended up with 1,120 points, 17,645th place. The median score was 1,185. Now, what place did you end up in?
I ended up in 3,300th place. My points were 1,283. And what was fascinating about this event, Tom, is in Bucket A, I picked Alton Jones, and then in Bucket E, I picked Wesley Strader. Well, the first day, Tom, Alton and Wesley were in the top 10, and the second day they zeroed. So I don't know in the history of the Classic if we've ever had top 10 people the first day zero, the second day two or more people, which is very fascinating.
Yeah. Well, there were some crazy things that went on in this tournament. We've been talking about it. I talked to Jordan Lee earlier, our champion, and just some nutty stuff. But I will say this, and I'd love to get your opinion on it. You know, Jordan Lee's boat broke down, which forced him to sit on his spot and just work every little inch of it all around. And you wonder if there's a lesson in there. You know, we like to run and gun a lot, and maybe there's a lesson there that, you know, by having that boat break down, it was maybe a higher power allowing him to sit on those fish and come up with that 27-pound-plus bag on Sunday.
So I agree with the higher power, but I also, you know, thinking about this, and Zona hit it right perfectly. This lake is a very high-pressured lake for the size of the lake. And the high pressure of this lake played a major role in catching fish during this event. Mm-hmm. So that issue with Jordan, him having to slow down, made him figure out very little minute detail spots on where these fish were laying, and it worked out perfectly. And Tom, let's see, we had one earlier with Jacob Wheeler on Cherokee breaking down. He wins. Jordan breaks down. He wins. I guess your boat needs to break down if you're going to win.
I guess that is that's the key to getting the win, is having that boat you know, have some sort of engine trouble or have something break down on the boat. Now, I did have Mike Iaconelli in Group B, so that was my best pick. He finished sixth place. I thought he had excellent chance to win this tournament. I got hurt by, I'll be honest with you, Greg Hackney, surprisingly poor tournament. Andy Montgomery I had in Group C finished 44th, and Jesse Wiggins finished 33rd out of Cullman, Alabama. So, I had some guys really near the bottom of this deal. I don't know that you could have put together a worse team than one I had.
Well, and what was fascinating with Brent Ayler is, you know, he was fishing the heavy stuff just like Hackney was. Except, except we talked about it a couple weeks ago. One of the reasons why I picked Brent is because his finesse type style of fishing, and he used that weightless Yamamoto minnow type bait, shad type bait, and you know, he did great. Hackney was in there, kind of in that area, flipping, you know, the heavy braid and you know, the half-ounce sinker, and the fish are just acclimated to that type of presentation on a high-pressure lake.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, we got a couple of minutes. Let's give them a look at our teams for Toledo Bend as the boys head for Manny, Louisiana. And at our Group A, look, Otto Foe's getting 29%. Greg Hackney's getting 32%. I'm going with momentum. I'm going to take Jordan Lee, 6.7%, but I'm taking Jordan Lee. What do you got?
Well, I think that's a great pick, and I Jordan is on. He's a great fisherman. He's a great person. You know what? I think this is going to be an offshore bite. And I'm going to go old school. I'm going to pick David Fritz as my cranking master for bucket A.
And bucket B, I just had to click on it, saw Kevin Van Dam at the top of the list. 54%, including me, are taking Kevin Van Dam. What do you got?
Well, you stole my pick. So
that's okay. You can have the same pick.
I'll go with Faircloth since you've got Van Dam. I'll go ahead and bite the bullet and I'll take Faircloth on that.
It's only a problem if we have the exact same team. We already have a different team from Bucket A. All right, Bucket C, I'm taking Mike Iaconelli. Again, I'm going with some momentum there. 15.6 have Mike Iaconelli. Edwin Evers is getting over 28% of the pick. What do you got?
I got Edwin Evers.
It's a good pick. Solid pick there, certainly. All right, in D, I'm going to go with Randy Howell. He needs a good tournament, and he's got 11.4% here. I love Randy. He's a great guy. I'm going to go with Randy Howell. Jacob Poroznik is getting 32%, Cliff Crochet 24%, and Brandon Polinek 15%. What do you got?
Hey, that's an excellent pick. Not too long ago, Poroznik won on Toledo Bend, so I'm going to go with Poroznik.
And finally, in bucket E, I've gone with Chris Lane. He's got 20%. I think he's itching to get out there and do some damage after missing the Classic, so I'm going to take Chris Lane. Justin Lucas getting 22%. So the Gunnersville boys picking up a lot of the vote here. What do you got?
Well, I just have that gut feeling that Fred Robanis is going to do it. Ooh. So I've got Fred Robanis.
All right, sounds good. This might be a 100-pound tournament. I went 93 pounds, 4 ounces, but Toledo Bend, number one lake in the country, according to the Bassmaster Top 100 Lakes for the second year in a row. So good luck with your picks, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, Tom. Thanks, buddy.
All right, thank you, Scott Morris. Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Bassmaster Radio. So until next time, make sure you keep those lines tight and those nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.